couple. I am not Pastor Joel. My name is Leroy. Like Pastor Ray said a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago, God took us up to Gailton, a small town in Potter County, to minister. We've been there for 2.5 years. So a little update on the bunkers, though. We are not going to be there much longer. About 6 months ago, God started opening doors and messing with us. We are always praying for God's will in our lives, always praying for God. We want to be in your will. We want to be doing what you have for us. And though we love it in Gailton, we love ministering there, God began opening doors and moving us. So next week will be our last week up in Potter County in Gailton. We are moving a little farther south, about an hour north of you all, in a little town called Newport. We're going to be serving a team there, Newport Assembly of God in Newport. So lots happening here in the Bunker family. Son's getting married. My youngest son is growing up. I'm growing out. My daughter is going to be working at the Bongiorno Conference Center, a resident employee this year. Life has been a whirlwind for the Bunkers. But that is the update. That's the update on the Bunkers. I see my kids are here, at least two of them. I see two of them back there. Oh, three of them. There's, yeah, I didn't see her in the back, and the arms came out. Liberty and Lincoln and Lathan are back there. Oh, by the way, for those of you maybe who are new, the handsome young man up there that plays the acoustic guitar and sometimes the drums, that's my boy. I thought it was a warm welcome this morning when I took my usual position in the back of the church, used to be my usual position, and I walked in the kitchen, and I was greeted by Sam and the crew that are there early in the morning. And I gotta admit, I love seeing them. But my favorite thing was I looked by the grill and I saw this big pile of bacon. You guys have stepped it up. I love that bacon. And I love how God confirms things. And I found out I can't pound the pulpit. So I love how God confirms things. I'm talking about pigs a little bit today at the beginning of my sermon. And then I was talking to Kervin in the kitchen too, and he was talking about chasing pigs that got away. For those of you who know me well, especially those who were in my youth ministry, you know I'm not shy about my love for bacon. I'm quite passionate about it. I love bacon. It's a well-known fact. Bacon makes everything better. Just last week, I took a little piece of tenderloin, deer backstrap tenderloin. I wrapped that baby in bacon and threw it on the grill. That was good stuff. You can tell I like bacon. I love bacon. Bacon makes everything taste better. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Now, there are some things that they probably shouldn't do with bacon, but they have done. One of the gifts I got from a youth group member one time was bacon mints. They were breath mints flavored with bacon. I love bacon, but that was a disgrace. Bacon chocolate, that's not too bad. Chocolate-covered bacon, that's pretty good. They even make bacon air fresheners and candles and bacon ice cream. They make everything bacon. I'm not here today to talk about bacon, though. You know that. I know that. But it is in the titles of my sermon. I couldn't decide on the title of my sermon. So look at someone next to you today. I know this is the early service. We've got to wake up a little bit, stretch a little bit. Look at somebody next to you today and tell them, Jesus is better than bacon. Do it now. I want to hear you. Come on. There you go. Good job. It was either that. I was toying between that and pork problems. But I think we could go with either one. You're going to understand in a moment. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to start in the first verse and read down through the 17th, a familiar story probably to many of you. Mark chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. I'll read from the NIV. Here's the version I've got this morning. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, these words that are spoken, I pray that you would speak to us clearly through them. As we hear these words, Lord, may your Holy Spirit's voice ring in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. Transform us today by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus and his disciples had just crossed the Sea of Galilee. And he and his disciples got out of the boat, and I love this. They walked right in to the wrong side of town. Troy and I were talking a little bit about the wrong side of town a little bit before. These conversations that happen before church is just God's way of saying, yeah, this is the message I have this morning. I love how Jesus and his disciples, they walked into the wrong side of town, the place where nobody wanted to go. This was the rough side of town. This was where the things were that nobody wanted to deal with. They wanted to stay away from it. There was a man there that lived in the tombs possessed by demons. One that in Matthew's gospel said that no one could go into that area because it was too violent. You're probably familiar with areas like this if you ever go to some of the big cities. There's areas in town, and Howard could probably tell you from, there's areas probably in Baltimore that the cops don't like to go after dark. This was one of those areas. This was an area that nobody really wanted to go because of this man that lived in this area was so violent. No one could go through that area. This was one of those places that you avoided. They tried dealing with this man. We read in our text, they tried binding him, subduing him, putting him in chains. They bound him in chains. He would break the chains. He would escape. So people just avoided the area. They just accepted the fact there was a crazy man living in the tombs. They figured, well, we'll just avoid the problem. We can't fix it. We've tried. We've tried binding him in chains. We've tried everything, and it's not working. He breaks the chains. Maybe if we just put him away, set it aside, avoid it, maybe that problem will just go away. That's why they avoided this area of town, this little place outside of town where they kept their undesirables. This place where these things can be out of sight and out of mind. They just wanted to stay away from that area. Every now and then they might hear him howling and screaming from the distance, but they would avoid the area. They stayed away. I love how Jesus just walked right into the place where nobody wanted to go. I love how Jesus walked right in to that situation that people tried to fix on their own, but they couldn't do it. They failed. Let me ask you this morning, is there an area in your life that you're avoiding? Areas where you like to hide those little things, hide those things that you've tried to fix on your own, but they keep haunting you. Your hidden hurts, your hang-ups, your addictions, your pain. Maybe that's where your guilt lives. Maybe it's where you hide your shame. That shame that cries out day and night, tormenting you. But you just set it aside. You ignore it. You avoid it. You just don't go there, hoping that one day it'll just go away. I want to tell you this morning, you may be able to ignore it for a while. You may be even strong enough to bind it for a while. But unless Jesus steps in, it's going to break free. It's going to break loose, and it's going to continue to haunt you. Jesus wants to walk into that area of your life this morning. He wants to walk into that area of your life and set you free. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid to walk into that area that others may not want to go there. You may not even want to go there yourself. He's not afraid of it because he wants to set you free. He knows you're hurting. He knows your hang-ups. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal your hurts. He wants to heal your addictions. He wants to heal your pain. He wants to take your guilt. He wants to take your shame this morning. And he wants to cast it as far as the east is from the west. Jesus set a demon-possessed man free that day, delivered him, set him free, but it came at a high price. It came at a cost. This area where the demoniac lived was also a place where they kept a herd of pigs. The place where the townspeople kept their herd. Jews, by the way, were forbidden to eat, touch, or keep pigs under the law. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that there was Jewish people that owned these pigs. We don't know. It could have been Gentiles that owned the pigs. But I just want to say right here that I'm thankful that we're not under the law anymore. I love bacon. Did I mention that? I think I did. I'm quite fond of it. But for the Jews then, it would have been unacceptable for them to have pigs. They were outside of town, on a hillside, outside of town, out of sight, out of mind. The inhabitants of that area would have been both Jewish and Gentile. So either the Jews were violating their laws, or Gentiles owned those pigs. We don't know, but we know that there was a loss that day. There was a price that was paid. When that man was set free, I did some math. Yes, I can do math. A little bit, simple math. I have to get my kids to help sometimes. But I did the math. And do you realize 2,000 pigs, and Kirvin, you could probably attest to this. And I know I can too, because let me tell you a quick story. When we moved up to Gailton, my first year as a pastor up there, pastor appreciation rolled around, and I told a few people about this. I told Pastor Joel because it was so unique. Pastor appreciation rolled around, and I had one of my board members come up to me and said, "We got you a pastor appreciation gift." And he took us out for lunch that day, and we went to his son's place, who had a little farmette, and we walked down, and he shows me these pigs running around, these hogs. And he said, "You see that brown and white one right there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's yours." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No, we got you a pig. We got a hog for our pastor appreciation gift from this guy, one of my board members." And I'm telling you, and maybe I can put a bug in your head, maybe I shouldn't say this, or maybe I should. Pastor Joel, I don't know how much he loves bacon, if he loves it as much as me, but they got us that pig, and I'll tell you, the first thing that went was the bacon. We had that thing butchered. We got some nice slabs of bacon. It was the first thing to go, and primarily my fault. I love bacon. Did I mention that? Anyhow, I know about what a pig costs. I know what it costs to get it processed, but I know the joy of having a pig in your freezer too. It's great. But back to the math. I did the math. Do you know today, 2,000 pigs, what that would cost someone who owned 2,000 pigs that was planning on butchering those, selling those, what those 2,000 pigs were worth? Over $1.7 million. Running down a cliff, kerplunk, to their death. I don't know if they could salvage any of the bacon. I probably would have tried. $1.7 million. It cost somebody something that day when this man was set free. The people came from the town. They saw what Jesus did. They saw the man that had been tormented. They saw the man that had been howling and cutting himself, and that was so violent they couldn't go into this area. They came from the towns all around. They came to see this thing that had happened. They saw this man sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed. He was no longer haunted and tormented. He was totally set free. He was healed. They heard what Jesus did. They heard about what happened to their pigs. And they were afraid. They begged Jesus to leave. I think the people were afraid that Jesus was going to cost them more money. I think the people were afraid that if Jesus hung around, he was going to do something else, and they were going to lose. They were going to lose something. It was going to cost them. I'm sure there was a lot more that Jesus could have done that day. There was a lot more that he could have done in the surrounding areas and in that town. I know that there was a lot more he could have done, but the people didn't want to pay the price. Church, Jesus wants to work in you and through you. There's a lot he can do in this place. Not just here at New Life, but in his church, in the body of Christ. There's a lot more he can do. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price? Or are we going to grieve the Holy Spirit and not allow him to work in us and through us because we're afraid of what it might cost us? Because we're afraid of what we might have to let go of. Do we have a pork problem? Are there things in our lives? And I'm not just talking about LCC. We are the church. We're the body of LCC. Here I am. I'm back in Gailton. I'm not just talking about New Life. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the church. That's you. That's me. Is there any pork in your life? Is there anything in your life that is more important to you than God's presence and what he wants to do in you and through you? Are there anything in your life that's more important than God's presence? Take a moment and think about that. I don't care who you are. You're going to find a little pig running around in your life every now and then. I like to call that pig preference. Preference the pig, I like to call him. I find him running around in my life every now and then where I want to put my preference before God's presence. We think we don't have a pork problem. We don't think we have some little pigs running around in our lives, things that we want to hang on to, that we don't want to pay. We don't want to suffer the cost by letting them go. But we do. We are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And you are in an area. God puts you in this place. He puts you in this area as the body of Christ, in this community, in this town, for a reason. This city needs Jesus. See, Jesus walked into this area. Now he wants to walk into this area, into the East Berlin and surrounding areas. But where's Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit, who's living in you. He wants you to walk into these areas. Are you willing to do that? Or do you want to hang on to preference, the pig? Jesus wants to work in you, and he wants to work through you. So I ask you today, church, is your preference more important than his presence in your life? There's a world that needs Jesus, and I am sad to say that a lot of the body of Christ is paralyzed by their preference today. They're paralyzed because they're not willing to let go of things in their lives. They're not willing to allow Jesus to come into their lives and transform them. They want to keep things hidden. They want to keep that little corner of their heart for their own. And Jesus is saying, if you would give that to me, if you would not be afraid to let go, I would work in you and through you, and you would see great and mighty things. There's a lot more that God wants to do in this place and in his church if we would be willing to pay the price, if we'd be willing to let go of our preference and let go of those things in our hearts and in our lives that he wants to heal, that he wants to set you free from. And we'll see a mighty move of God like we've never seen before if we can just get rid of that little pig called preference that we want to hang on to and seek him in his presence over our preference. Don't allow preference in your life to keep you from Jesus taking you, his body, into the areas that need the transforming power of God. Jesus walked into that area and transformed that man's life. Jesus wants you to walk into somebody's life And he wants to transform them by his power through you this morning, if you're willing to do it. I ask the folks in the booth to play a song for our closing this morning. During this time, I'd like you to take a moment and respond to what the Holy Spirit said to you this morning. I'd like you to take a moment and search your life and search your heart, that area, those areas that you don't like to go to. When this song is playing, I'd like you to take these moments to respond. I'd like you to take these moments and ask God to show you if you've got maybe a little preference pig running around in your life. Maybe if there's an area that you need healing. If there's shame, if there's guilt, Jesus wants to come in and heal you this morning. You don't have to be afraid. That price that you're going to pay, that little pig being removed from your life, it's worth it, folks. For the presence of God to move in you and through you. So I'm going to ask the booth to play this song. It's a song by Cody Carnes. Listen to the words.